Right now, it's time to welcome in once again Brian Ross, Real News with Brian Ross. Brian joins us here on a Thursday morning, and we take a look at some news stories out and about. Good morning there, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall.
You know, I'm sitting here, and as an investigative reporter, I'm going to ask you this question. Everybody's talking about vaccinations for COVID-19. Roughly, I think the world's population is 7 billion people. When a vaccine is actually made, how does it get to 7 billion people?
That's a very good question. That's why, of course, the U.S. has been spending a lot of money, billions of dollars, to get advanced access to any vaccines that are produced. And every country will be vying to get ahead of the other. You saw what happened in Russia. Vladimir Putin announced they've got a vaccine. He had his daughter inoculated, and they're off to the races there before it's fully tested. But your question is a good one. Is there going to be a ugly race to get that vaccine, even in this country? How do you get ahead of the line? How do you have to wait in line? Who gets it first? Lots of questions there. And as we've talked before, there's a lot of money floating around here. People who have, place big bets in the stock market on some of these companies are so far making lots and lots of money. If one of the vaccines fails, well, that could be a disaster for those people who are trying to think it's going to turn out. And there's no guarantee they're going to work.
Well, that's the whole thing. And I hate to do this. My brother was a major player in a major pharmaceutical company. The line I get from my brother all the time about medications is they need to make the money back because of all the money they spend in researching it. But, you know, somehow I just don't trust when you let the pharmaceutical companies oversee themselves and say how they're going to supply a vaccine. It doesn't seem to work out at best for everybody.
What I've seen so far, Marshall, is that the U.S. government is intending to make these vaccinations free to Americans, and that there'll be a standard sort of distribution system. But you can be guaranteed that people with money and access are going to try to find a way to get to the head of the line before everybody else.
All right. I guess before we get to the 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is the elections. Interesting thing happening with Taiwan and China and the United States. The United States now making a visit to Taiwan. Taiwan increasing its military budget by, I think it's 15%. And all this, it goes in the play with our relationship with China.
Absolutely. And, of course, Taiwan has long been a sticking point for China. They see it as part of their territory, and we've had to dodge around it as a country, as our foreign policy, sort of agreeing not to talk about it. But behind the scenes, we've given lots of aid, and especially on the conservative side of the aisle, lots of support for Taiwan as a way to stick it in the nose of the Chinese.
All right, so let's get to that gorilla, which is the American elections. Joe Biden has picked Kamala Harris as a running mate. As someone who's covered news for quite a long time, is this as big a story as the media is making it, or once again, is it being kind of pumped up just a little bit?
Well, I think two things. One, it was interesting that it did not leak ahead of time, which is an amazing thing with 11 people all in line to get it. And two, I take a look at the response from President Trump, whose best response was that she's nasty, extraordinarily nasty, which is the best he can do so far. And the Republican spin machine is either that she is too far to the left or that she's not far enough to the left to please progressives. They can't quite find the right way to go after her. And that's going to be a problem, which I think supports the notion that she probably was the perfect candidate for Biden. I think her speech yesterday when they came out together in that Delaware gathering was, I thought, impressive. And did not see that the Republicans were able to fire back very good. They talked about her role as a prosecutor, as somebody who went after crime. That may hurt with progressives, but it's not going to hurt in the middle of the country.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt in the general election. As someone who labels himself as a progressive, believe you me, I know what works for progressive and what doesn't work for progressives. But I also know that progressives will overlook anything that they might have with a candidate. In this situation, I'll say 90% of the progressives and vote to change who's in office simply because the Biden-Harris team will be a lot more amiable to progressive causes than the Trump-Pence campaign.
Well, that, from a progressive point of view, where else do you go? There is no other candidate really out there, other than sort of Kanye West. And I think I was struck by, at the same time, the president was describing Senator Harris as nasty, and I'll leave it to psychiatrists to get into why he uses that word so often, what it sounds like something he was told as a child. But he also tweeted out his congratulations to this Republican congressional candidate in Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is an advocate of the sort of the most sort of vile conspiracy theories, equating Democrats with Satan and their child trafficking and sex. And he calls her a winner.
Well, that's the, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I've read a lot of different features in a lot of different magazines about the QAnon, and there are actually 10 or 12 representatives in Congress that believe in what QAnon does, and they really have been described as basically a terrorist organization by the FBI and most and CIA. I mean,
well, they're really, you know, and I hate to say any speech is dangerous, but you know, they're wacky theories. I think there'll be a day of reckoning coming soon for those who support this and sort of encourage it and abet it. And among them, the leaders of the Republicans in Congress, Kevin McCarthy, has declined to sort of go after these people and has just been mute about this. And I think that, you know, the facts just don't support any of it, first of all. But it's, you know, it's a wacky theory. And, of course, you know, we live in the United States of paranoia, so we have all kinds of people who love conspiracy theories. So this one is one that gets some attention. But the fact, as you say, that so many, and by so many, I mean more than a handful in Congress sort of subscribe to these theories, it's stunning to me.
Well, it belies any common sense. I mean, I have friends locally who I am shocked at that believe this QAnon stuff, that actually think it exists. That's right.
You know, and you know, look, the Americans always love a good conspiracy. You know, ever since you can go way back to the assassination of Lincoln, the assassination of John Kennedy. I mean, the conspiracy theories always flow. You know, the theories that Tony Fauci somehow organized the whole pandemic. You know, they're wacky as can be, and you know, at times you sort of just sort of bemused by them. But it gets a little dangerous when they start to take root in Congress.
Yeah, it's and if you don't, all you have to do is search this group and see their manifesto. I won't even call it an agenda, their manifesto that they have put together. And what's interesting about this group is that they're not just in America; they're now spreading throughout the globe. They're in other countries other than ours.
Right. Well, you know, and so President Trump has embraced this Republican candidate who won the primary down there, Marjorie Greene, and, you know, she's best known for some of her comments, which are described by reporters down there as racist, Islamophobic, and anti-Semitic. And she's likely to win and be seated in Congress next year.
Absolutely, absolutely stunning there. Well, in the last minute and a half, 2 minutes we have left, any perspectives that you have that you want to share with us?
Well, what are we now at? 82 days before the election.
Yeah.
It's time for Team Trump to actually begin to score some daily wins. They haven't so far. They have been kind of flat-footed, and you know, behind the scenes, they do know that some of the polls in the real swing states, the important states, aren't that far apart. I mean, the debates will become important, and you know, it's the end of September, and you know, Trump wants more debates. They're arguing the dates should be moved up because there'll be so many people voting early. So I do think that the debates will be, as they always are, a real turning point, and we'll watch closely. I thought yesterday Joe Biden, with a teleprompter, was right on point, almost flawless delivery, as did Senator Harris. But you know, on the stage there, in person, it will be fascinating to see Trump versus Biden.
It's going to be interesting. I happen to think that Donald Trump says he wants more debates, but I happen to think personally he really doesn't want to get on a debate stage with Joe Biden. I really believe that deep down in my heart, and he'll keep raising questions on the dates as a way to put it off. It's almost
right.
Like
the dates on the debate, dates on the actual election. But you know, the thing with Trump is he will wing it, and it's becoming clear that his staff feeds him things he wants to hear, so he doesn't really have a good sense of what's really happening, which probably keeps him happy, but it's going to be a huge detriment for him. He's going to be flat-footed there if he's got information that's just demonstrably false.
All right, Brian, it's always great to talk with you for a few minutes on a Thursday morning. Have a great week, and we'll speak to you next week.
You too, Marshall. See you next week.
Take care. That is Brian Ross and Real News. You can find Brian on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.